Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Today, Tiffany Bird is with us today. She's the executive director of Safe Passage. And if you have not heard of Safe Passage, well, maybe that's good, but maybe that's bad. But they deal with a big issue here in South Carolina, which means it's also a big issue here in our community, which has been exacerbated by the pandemic. And it's all, well, I'm going to let her tell us. Tiffany, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
All right, tell everybody a little bit about Tiffany Bird.
All right. I've been here in the Carolinas for about 11 years. My background is in social work and law. And I've been with the agency for about 6 years.
When you say social work and law,
yes.
Explain that to me.
So USC in Columbia, they have a dual degree program where you can get your law degree and your master's in social work. Huh. And that is the program that I was able to finish a few years ago.
So you're an attorney.
I am.
You and Jada Charlie, your predecessor.
Yes.
That's interesting. Yes. You know, my dad was an attorney, and he told me that he says, you know, there are more people, men and women, with law degrees mm-hmm. that don't practice law mm-hmm. but are involved in all these other kinds of things.
Absolutely.
And he always told me, he said, that one of the best degrees you could have would be a law degree because it affects everything you do, no matter what it is.
Yes.
Good. So, Safe Passage.
Yes.
In a nutshell, tell everybody what it's all about.
All right. In a nutshell, Safe Passage prides itself on being a victim service-centered agency to help those who are experiencing interpersonal violence, whether that be domestic violence, sexual assault, or child abuse. We offer counseling services, advocacy, community resources. Basically, we try and provide anything that somebody who's experienced something like that needs in order to put themselves in a better position.
You also operate a shelter?
Yes, we do.
Which always is an unknown location for obvious
yes.
reasons.
Yes.
So at any one time, if you mm-hmm. break down those three areas, I mean, mm-hmm. how many people are you dealing with or that are associated with domestic violence?
Domestic violence is by far the largest component of what we deal with. I'd say that's probably 65% of the population that we have as far as clients are concerned. Now, some of those may be residential and utilizing our shelter services, and some of those are utilizing our community-based services, whether that be counseling or advocacy, things like that.
Well, I guess it goes without saying. Well, let me say this first. The last time I did a program on this, unfortunately, South Carolina was kind of right at the top of the list.
Yes.
In terms of the whole issue of domestic violence. Is
yes.
that pretty much still true?
Pretty much. We've come down a little bit. We are number five right now. We are tied with Tennessee, I believe. So we are not in the top three, but we're definitely not as far down the list as we would like to be.
And
we're making strides.
Is that because we don't have the right kinds of laws? Attorney? Well,
the recent change in the law has definitely helped, but there still needs to be more change when it comes to the community's attitudes around domestic violence. Sometimes the response that we get from the court system could be a little different. There's still a lot that is required of victims in order to get certain protections that do make it difficult. And on top of that, you're accessing a lot of different areas. So you've got social services, you have law enforcement, you have the courts, and they're all coming from different areas, different viewpoints. And sometimes it's really difficult for those areas to work together the way that they need to for this particular problem.
So a wife, a husband, a lady
mm-hmm.
comes to you,
mm-hmm.
and she's obviously got issues.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me that we can't get her the protections that she needs because of these, all these conflicting whatevers?
There can be things that make it really difficult. For example, so domestic violence is more than just physical. It can be emotional. It can be financial. It can be psychological. Unfortunately, the courts are only allowed to provide protection orders if the abuse that you're experiencing is physical. So that takes out a large portion of the victims that we see, because not everybody is experiencing physical abuse like that, but they are experiencing situations that make it unsafe for them to stay there. So it limits what kind of options that victim has. So that would be one thing that would be helpful to change.
So if somebody is being verbally berated day in and day out, but there's no physical abuse, they're stuck.
The courts do not have a way right now to offer additional protection to that person.
Well, let's just suppose, for argument's sake, that the we'll use the woman in this case, was smart enough to just turn on her iPhone and capture all of this verbal abuse, time after time after time after time. And could she just say, okay, here, court, what do you think about this?
Right now, the courts do not recognize verbal abuse as a means to get in a protection order in particular.
So is South Carolina unique in that? Or
I haven't looked around. I know in North Carolina, you do have the ability to get a protection order for things other than physical abuse.
Ah.
Yes.
So we need to get a little bit more, progressive?
It would be helpful if we looked at other forms of abuse besides just physical, yes. Hmm. It would be a large help.
All right, well, let's take the easy one. When I say easy, tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
The physical abuse, somebody comes into you and you can see, obviously, that there has been abuse. How does the process work? What do you do?
So immediately that person who comes to us, they would sit down with an advocate and they would talk about what is it that they feel that they need in that moment. And then the advocate would go over the various service options that we have. And talk through those with them, because our services are victim-led. So if we may feel as though shelter is a really good option for that person right now, or advocacy, like meeting with somebody to talk about an order of protection, for example, is a good idea. But if that victim is not in a place where they agree with that after we've had that conversation, then we're not going to go that route. We're going to walk with them with whatever they feel they need. So if that means just talking through a safety plan, so how to remain safe if they choose to return to the home or return to that partner, that's perfectly fine. But everybody that comes through our doors, we want to make sure that they know we're going to listen to them and we're going to help them make the best decision that they can for themselves. And if that means that they have to come back 2, 3, 10 times, we're going to be here every single time to listen and help.
But for somebody who's in a relationship where there's physical abuse, I mean, going back home could be a very difficult decision to make.
It absolutely can be, and we walk through those things. We talk about the risks that are associated with that, but at the end of the day, we can't force somebody to do something that they don't feel that they're ready to do. And leaving, whenever somebody leaves an abusive relationship, that is the most dangerous time. So if that person feels like this is not the right time to do that, then okay, let's make a plan and we can talk about what would need to be present for you to feel safe enough to leave, if that's something that you want to do.
So do you, when you have a certified abusive case, physical violence, do you get the police involved with this, or you just kind of try to work it out without them?
We leave it up to the victim. If they are willing to contact the police and let them know, then we can be there with them when they do that, or they can choose to do that on their own. We have relationships with the various police departments in the area, so we can talk with the victim about what to expect if they were to contact the police, but we do have to leave that decision up to them.
And I would imagine many times that's like pouring gasoline on the fire.
Absolutely. It can be.
Because I can't imagine the husband being approached by an officer with this. And I would just say that would be the last step, because that would just make it awful for the wife returning to that home.
It can. A lot of times it does.
So you in the course of whatever, let's say a month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many active cases of domestic violence are you dealing with?
Oh, let's see. I would say in any given week, we're probably dealing with upwards of 20 to 25 cases a week.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, whether that be one-time appointments or routine appointments with them, that all depends. But, yeah.
And I would gather in most of those cases, you're working with the spouse, I mean, the wife.
Mm-hmm. We're working with the victim, yes.
And they're not immediately going into some kind of a shelter situation?
No, not all the time. Not all the time.
Do you have more need for shelter space than you have?
Yes. Housing in particular is really difficult right now, so it may not necessarily be specifically shelter. Sometimes we really need something that can transition somebody from the immediate shelter need to being able to stay someplace upwards of 6-9 months while they get themselves
right.
Back in a stable situation, especially if they were operating on maybe two incomes, and then if they choose to leave the relationship, now it's one income. So helping them get some stability while they learn to do that on their own is something that we really do need right now.
Shoo. So at any one time, mm-hmm. with the shelter facilities you have, how many
yes.
ladies can you take care of?
Traditionally, we have space for 24
oh, really?
Individuals.
Okay.
Right now, due to COVID, we do have to operate at a reduced capacity. So we're utilizing alternative shelter options once we hit our new reduced capacity right now.
All you needed, right?
Right.
Just what you needed to have.
Yes,
reduced
exactly.
capacity.
Yes.
All right, so talk to me about the other services that you have. I was really taken aback. I didn't realize that in your central office, you've got almost 20 people in there.
Yes.
Working on the payroll.
Yes.
Handling all these different things that you do.
Yes.
So
yes.
tell me how those work.
So we have our domestic violence services, which we were talking about. So that includes the emergency shelter and community services, so advocacy and counseling.
Right. Yep.
We also have a sexual assault program. So if a individual reports to the local hospital and says that they were assaulted, we have advocates that respond to the hospital and walk them through kind of what to expect if they choose to complete a medical exam at that time.
Right.
We talk about different options that they have as far as follow-up services, whether that be advocacy, counseling, things like that. And then we also have a child advocacy center, which is where law enforcement, social services, when there are allegations of abuse or if there is the possibility that a child may have witnessed a crime, we have trained individuals to speak with that child, and that conversation is recorded so that if it goes to court, they have something that is legally defensible, and it assists the investigators in investigating the crimes that they feel may have happened to that child.
My gosh. So as the population continues to grow
yes.
here in Rock Hill, in York County, the percentage of people walking into your door is growing as well, right?
Yes.
Not
yes.
tapering off at all.
No, it is not. It is not. In the last several years, we've probably seen a consistent increase somewhere between 15% and 20% each year as
oh
far
my.
As how many people access our services.
Oh, my. You know, I had a friend of mine tell me years ago that the best thing that I could do for my two boys as they were growing up and got to the age of mm-hmm. falling in love and all that stuff
yes.
was to buy them
mm-hmm.
very complete, serious premarital counseling to get at all of the issues mm-hmm. that are underneath the surface to make sure that everybody knew
mm-hmm.
what they were getting into on a long-term basis.
Mm-hmm.
You would probably agree with that, right? Based on
yeah, I think people definitely need to take time and make sure that they're aware of how the person that they are in a relationship with, how do they deal with stress? How do they deal when there is a disagreement? Because those things are going to matter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Was the petals fall off the bloom very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and then you realize, oops, I didn't realize this,
right.
oops, I didn't realize that.
Right.
I got you. All right. Well, when we come back from a mid-program break, we're going to talk about how Safe Passage's life has been changed because of the pandemic that is going on throughout the country. And you're, of course, listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us, a community built on care. Find out more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24-7, 365. We hang out here every day at Substation 2. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. How do we do this? 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
My concern is let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke, those things that are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka, expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Applying for and adding financial products and services at Founders Federal Credit Union has never been easier. Founders Online gives you the option to add accounts, apply for loans, apply for a credit card, and sign up for account alerts, all in just a few steps and from the comfort of your home. Visit FoundersFCU.com to enroll your account today. Not a Founders member? Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
These days, everybody wants peace of mind. Some people do yoga. Some meditate. Me? I use Ready Home Security from Comporium. Ready Home lets me monitor my house, even when I'm hundreds of miles away. With Ready Home, I can use my phone or tablet to set my alarm, turn on lights, lock the doors, even control my thermostat. Yoga's great, but knowing that everything's great at home, now that's peace of mind. That's Ready Home. To learn more about Ready Home, visit Comporium.com or call 888-403-2667.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place. Enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Tiffany Bird is with us today. She's the Executive Director of Safe Passage here in Rock Hill, York County. Well, you serve the Tri-County area, York, Chester, Lancaster counties?
Yes, so it depends on which program you're talking about.
Right.
Our domestic violence program serves York, Lancaster, and Chester County.
Okay.
Our sexual assault program serves York and Union County, and our child abuse program serves York County exclusively.
I asked you this tongue-in-cheek while we're on the break. With all these issues that you deal with, domestic violence, sexual abuse, da-da-da, is it tough to turn this off at the end of the day? I mean, how do you keep your head straight?
Yeah, some days it is harder than others to kind of turn it off. I think at that point it's really important to remember why we do what we do. And when we get little reminders from people that maybe we've helped in the past and they reach back out and give us an update about where they are, that goes a really long way in keeping us committed to what we do.
So what we're talking about is some success stories.
Yes.
All right. Without any names, mm-hmm. no one any names, mm-hmm. in a short little brief one, I want you to tell me just a success story that sticks out in your head.
We had an individual who basically made a walk-in crisis call, as we call it, because they didn't know what to do. They were being threatened with various legal actions, and they were scared about what that meant.
Right.
And we ended up being able to reach out to law enforcement and get some understanding about what was going on in that situation, how we could potentially help them. And they ended up utilizing our shelter for a while and went through the program and took advantage of some other community resources that we had. And they were able to further their education and actually start a new career path for themselves. And they've been able to kind of restabilize. So being able to see that from beginning to end is probably one of the things that I will never forget.
Good for you. All right, so we've had this. We still are having this thing called the pandemic, which hit us all like a punch in the face early in March. And here we are several months later. What kind of impact has this had on Safe Passage?
We have had to get creative in how we provide our services. I am very proud to say that the services that we were offering prior to the pandemic, we are still offering today. Granted, it's taking a different form. So we are utilizing video conferencing, phones, anything that we can do to lessen the face-to-face interaction we're able to do. Our residential services, while we've had to decrease how many people we can have in the building at one time, we're still being able to offer additional shelter options aside from our facility. So I'd say that that's probably been the biggest shift that we've had to make. But other than that, we've kind of transitioned relatively well.
What about the numbers of calls? Because there's been a lot of national attention to the fact that people are stuck at home with each other because they can't go to work.
Yes.
And that's just creating a breeding ground for more of these issues.
Yes, it is. So while the crisis call numbers are technically down, we do feel as though that's more in line with the thing that you were talking about. If a person is constantly around the person that they don't feel safe with, they're not going to be able to reach out in the way that they would reach out before when they had a lot more freedom and movement. Along with that, our child abuse investigations, we know that they're also taking a hit because children weren't in school the last few months, and the visibility that victims have with people outside of their home was greatly diminished, and that's where a lot of the outreach happens. So when you reduce someone's ability to be out in public, you are going to see a decrease in people reaching out for help. When they do reach out for help, we have noticed that they have kind of snuck away while they took out the trash, or somebody was in the shower and they were able to kind of get away for a few minutes. So some of the calls that we've seen recently are, for lack of a better word, they're more urgent.
Oh my.
But we are extremely happy to respond to somebody that's reaching out for help in whatever capacity. If it's a phone call, if it's a text message, if it's an email, however you feel is safest for you, we're responding to you that way.
So if somebody happens to be in that condition and listening to this program, I mean, what's the number they're supposed to call?
So we have a 24-hour crisis line, and that number is 803-329-2800.
Okay.
And they can call that, like I said, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we always have an advocate there ready and willing to help you in whatever way you need.
And if somebody can't get safely to the phone to have a conversation, but they might be able to do something on their phone with a text message or something, they can can't text it to that number.
They cannot text to that number, so we're working on developing some sort of a text system, but you can go to our website, and that is www.safepassagesc.org, and there is a way to reach out for assistance on there as well.
Okay. You find that, I don't know, do you find that there are what, a growing number of circumstances during this pandemic where people will do that kind of stuff?
Yes, absolutely. The number of requests for services that we're receiving through email has gone up significantly at this time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But you probably are saying to yourself, it's bigger than what I might think. Because
absolutely. We know that the numbers that we're seeing right now are not at all a complete picture of what's actually happening. I think as restrictions loosen up and people are able to move about, we're going to see a rebound in requests for services.
Meaning that once people get back to work and there's a little bit of freedom mm-hmm. between distance, let's put it that way, between husband and wife, mm-hmm. that you're going to start getting some more calls.
Yes. I think once people are able to leave their homes for different reasons and that happens a bit more frequently, that we'll start seeing the numbers that we feel are actually representative of what's going on.
So somebody who's out there in this particular condition,
yes,
and have not yet made the first step mm-hmm. in trying to contact you, mm-hmm. is there any, like, 1, 2, 3 as to what they might want to do to try to protect themselves if they're in this domestic situation and they can't get out of it?
I would say...
besides lock themselves in the bathroom? I mean, I don't know.
Well, we try and identify for yourself what areas of your home you feel are safest. We tend to advise to stay away from kitchens because of the different utensils that are there. We try and stay away from things that have one way in, one way out, because then if you're blocked, then you're stuck. Identify if there are people outside of your home that you feel like, if they're within earshot of certain things, do you feel like they would be willing to reach out for law enforcement assistance, for example, because you couldn't do so?
Do you get calls from neighbors that say, I think this lady's in an abusive situation and she needs help?
I haven't had it present itself like that. I have had survivors who come and speak with advocates and say, I didn't make that first call. The neighbor called for me. Or, my child had to run out of the home and they were able to get somebody to call for help. That's more of what that tends to look like for us.
And then I think of the scenario if the wife comes to you for help and her husband finds out about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not easy. Okay. Well, Tiffany, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Again, the telephone number, 24-hour number, is 329-2800, 803-329-2800. We hope you never have to call it. But if you do, it's there, and Safe Passage will try to help you out as best they can. And again, their website is Safe Passage SC, safepassagesc.org, to find out more information.
Yes.
Tiffany, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Well, I hope that you're out of business, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Eventually, I would like to be, but until then,
yeah,
we're here.
Right, wishful thinking. All right, so that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find more out online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And, of course, we hang out here every day at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop University. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week prepared right before your eyes. Tiffany knows how it's done now. She's going to join the chant. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day, everybody. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.